that your church would be healthy.
Na kwamba kanisa lako litakuwa na afya.
And that your church would grow.
Na kwamba kanisa lako litakuwa.
We pray this in the name of Jesus.
Tunaomba haya katika jina la Yesu.
And all God's people say,
let me just begin by saying we had an incredible week in Mombasa, Kenya. We were able to have a number of activities. We were 170 pastors who came out to the pastors' conference that I was teaching. They were hungry. They were eager to learn. And listen, it was the first time that they've been able to gather in one of these conference settings since COVID. There were 75 pastor wives who came to the conference that Janie taught, and she blessed them. And listen, if you saw some of the videos and such, there was a lot of laughter, there was a lot of dancing, and there was a lot of joy at the women's conference. And then our build team finished a new church facility for a church that previously only had a mud hut. And last week, they were able to have their first church service there as well. It was an incredible week. And this is the thing that I want you to know and to remember, is that you had a part of it all. Your mission dollars were at work in all that happened. And so what a great week it was for us as a church in Mombasa, Kenya. Now, today as we begin, I have something that I'm going to ask you to do. I want to ask you to make a fist. In fact, I'm going to ask you to make two fists, just really tight. And what I want you to do is to squeeze really tightly and just hold it tightly, and let me count 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 1,000. Now take a deep breath and let it go. Do you feel that? Do you feel anything happen when you did that? Listen, there is something about opening your hands. There is something about letting go, of releasing, that is really good for us. It's relaxing, it's freeing, and it's like it is built into your DNA. And we all have to learn to let go at times in our life. And let me just say, it can be tough. It can be tough to let go of things that we're used to holding on to. It can be tough to let go of people. I mean, that can be really tough to let go. Psalms 46 verse 10 says this, "Be still and know that I am God." That was our theme verse for our Kenya mission trip. Janie picked it. She shared that verse with us. Our first morning of travel, we were in the Nashville airport. "Be still and know that I am God." And that verse is actually talking about what you just did with your tight fists. It is literally letting go. The Hebrew word for be still is a word picture of rapha, and it's a word picture of opening your hands. It is this idea of relaxing, letting go, stop clinging, stop trying to control everything, let loose. And we all need that, because here's the thing about all of us: we hold on tightly, and before long, we tense up, and then we lock up. But there is a blessing in learning to let go and open our hands, open our lives, and trust God through it all. Do you trust Him? Do you trust God in such a way that you do life His way? Do you trust God with your stuff? Listen, for much of this year, we've been talking about how to follow Jesus. You've been invited to go through the motions of faith. And what we mean by that is to put into practice the things that Jesus did. That we would live lives of worship. That we would be people that would learn to pray like Jesus prayed and follow His example. That we would do our relationships Jesus' way. And all this month, we've been talking about Jesus and my stuff. Now, what in the world does Jesus want with my stuff? What does He want or need about your stuff? Why would He even care? Well, maybe the reason is because of this: what stuff does to us. Because here's what it does to us: we can begin to grip it and to grab it and hold it and to squeeze it, and before long, it's like we're holding on with everything we have. And before you know it, it's not me holding my stuff. It is my stuff now holds me and holds my heart. Jesus is the one who said it was that way. You'll remember when He said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In other words, there is something supernatural that happens within us in the connection between holding on to my stuff and my heart. And that's why we're called to do life the Jesus way, to give generously, to save wisely, to live appropriately. And today I want to build on that foundation that we've already looked at this month. And I'm going to invite you to live with margin, to be aware of God moments in your life, and to be willing to open your hands to what God is already doing. So if you would take out your Bible, and we're going to look in the Old Testament today. I'm going to look at a story in 2 Kings chapter 7, 2 Kings chapter 7. And while you're turning to that passage, let me introduce myself to you. If we've not yet met, my name's Kevin. I'm one of the pastors here. And if we've not met, I would love to meet you in the commons after this service. But listen, one of the things that is so good about here at New Word Fellowship is that God is about leadership, is partnership. And most of those guys, you know, they serve solo. They don't have a team of people to come alongside them. And that's a good gift from God, that we have a team and we are His team. So we are blessed here. Now listen, there's something else I want to ask you to do for me, and that is every week we ask everybody to complete a digital connect card. So if you've not yet done that today, let me tell you the easiest way. It's at the bottom of this listening guide. There's a QR code. You can scan that. That will take you to our digital program. The top of that program, there's a link to the digital connect card. We want to stay connected to you. We want to know that you are here. And we also want you to have the opportunity to share any prayer requests that you may have. So let me encourage you to do that. Now we're going to read from 2 Kings chapter 7, beginning with verse 1, and let me just set this up for you. This is a weird story, so let me give you a little background. The nation of Israel is at war. The capital city of Samaria has been besieged by an enemy army, and literally what they're trying to do is just starve the people out. It is as bad as you. Of choice flour will cost only one piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley grain will cost only one piece of silver. What he's saying is, listen, the siege is about to break. Things are going to get better. Verse 2, the officer assisting the king said to the man of God, that couldn't happen even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. But Elisha replied, "Open with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it." Now, there were four men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. "Why should we sit here waiting to die?" they asked each other. "We will starve if we stay here. But with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go back there. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Aramean army, and if they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, we would have died anyway." So at twilight, they set out for the camp of the Arameans. And when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sound of a great army approaching. "The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and Egyptians to attack us," they cried to one another. So they panicked, ran into the night, abandoning their tents and horses and donkeys and everything else, and they fled for their lives. When the men with leprosy arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another, eating and drinking wine, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing, and they hid it. Finally, they said to each other, "This is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come on, let's go back and tell the people at the palace." So they went back to the city, and they told the gatekeepers what had happened. "We went out to the Aramean camp," they said, "and no one was there. The horses and the donkeys were tethered, and the tents were all in order, but there wasn't a single person around." And then the gatekeepers shouted the news to the people at the palace. Now, I told you, it's kind of a weird story, right? Well, our focus is on those four guys with contagious disease. They were lepers, and they were living outside the gate of the city because lepers were never allowed to come into the city. They were kept away. But listen, it couldn't have been a worse time for them, because here they are trapped outside the city, and then this army surrounds the city, and so there they are caught in kind of a nowhere man's land. And so the Arameans, all they're trying to do right here is to hold a siege and literally to starve the city into submission. It was awful. In fact, it was so bad. Listen to this one other verse back in verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 25. It says this. It says, "As a result of that siege, There was a great famine in the city, and the siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 pieces of silver. Now think about this. One commentator wrote that the average wage in a year was like 10 pieces of silver. So multiply your annual income by 8 and think about paying that for a donkey's head. What in the world are you going to do with a donkey's head? Well, you're going to make soup. That's what you're going to do. You're going to make soup with the donkey's head. That's how terrible it was. But as bad as it was in the city, how much worse would it have been to be these four guys trapped outside the city? Listen, they were in a tight spot. And this is our first lesson. You have to awaken to the lack of margin in your life. You and I need to awaken to the lack of margin in our lives. Listen, these guys, they didn't have any wiggle room, and they knew it. Listen to what they said in verse 4. They said, we're going to starve if we stay here, but with the famine in the city, we're going to starve if we go there. We might as well go out and surrender to the army, and if they let us live, good. But if they kill us, well, we were going to die anyway. There was no wiggle room in their life at all. They were trapped. What a powerful question they ask at the beginning of the discussion. Why stay here until we die? Now listen, you and I, we're not ever going to be in a tight spot like these guys. But a lot of times, isn't that how we feel about the circumstances of our life? We feel like we are stuck. We feel like we're trapped, that there's no way out. And that begins to create this sense of panic in us. What are we going to do now? Well, the truth of this story is simply this. You're only stuck when you think that you are stuck. Even though that they didn't have much wiggle room, there was a way through it. Listen, we will not ever find ourselves like these guys, but sometimes, isn't that exactly how we act? Isn't that how we feel that we are? That we are just trapped? And the truth is, every one of us, we need margin in our life. Now, what do I mean by margin? Well, think about margin this way. Margin is breathing room in your life. Margin is having reserve in your life. Margin is having money at the end of your month, not feeling like you ran short in that last week. Margin is having downtime at the end of your to-do list. Margin is having space and time in our lives for the people that we love. And when it comes to our stuff, margin is having financial space in my life. But here's the thing. Most of us don't have any margin. Most of us feel that crush. Most of us are busier than we have ever been. We can't get it done. Our to-do list outgrows our ability. And financially, it's the same thing. In fact, I read a report from February this year that said 60% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. In other words, no margin. We're always on the brink of disaster. And that same article talked about that those that live that way, 40% of those are high-income earners. In other words, it's not just the poor that live paycheck to paycheck. No matter how much we have, we're always kind of on that edge. It went on to say that less than half, 45% of Americans would be able to cover even a $1,000 emergency expense without either using a credit card or adding debt into their life. Isn't that crazy? I mean, the reality is we ought to be expecting something to break in our life, right? Something's going to fall apart. There's going to be some need that comes. Shouldn't it be that we would expect that in our lives there are going to come some unforeseen emergencies that are going to require us to invest some funds in that? How many of us would be prepared even for a $1,000 emergency? Listen, life is full of uncertainty. How is your margin? in life, both time and money. These guys woke up to the fact that they had no margin. If we stay where we are, we're going to die. The problem with marginless living is it's often rooted in our own perspective. There are basically two worldviews of life, two life perspectives that we can adopt. The first one is what I call a scarcity mindset. A scarcity mindset is this idea that I look at the world, there's just not enough. Never is. Just not enough. Resources are finite. Resources are limited. And let's just be honest about it. In a year of economic uncertainty, it feels like we live in a place of scarcity. These guys had nothing. And aren't there times in your life and in my life where that's how we feel? Like, I've got nothing. But watch this. You also have the option for an abundance mindset. In verse 4, they said, we have nothing. But then 4 verses later, in verse 8, we read this. And when the men with leprosy arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another, and they're eating and drinking wine, and they carry off silver and gold and clothing and hit it. Same guys, same world, same circumstances. But now we see they're really not living in a world of scarcity. They're living in a world of abundance. Now, I know we could read that story and say, well, yeah, sure. If God all of a sudden gives me silver and gold and free groceries and new wardrobes, that would have an abundant mindset as well. But pay attention to the story. Their world hadn't changed. Their condition hadn't changed. And God certainly hadn't changed. Let me ask you, when you look at your life, when you evaluate where you are in life, do you focus on the scarcity in your life? Or are you able to see abundance? Do you focus on the things you don't have? Or are you able to see all the things that you do have? Let me tell you, that's a mindset thing. Let me give you an example. When our mission team arrived in Mombasa, because of a delayed flight, our luggage didn't make it there with us. It was left behind. So we arrived on a Saturday morning, and it was Sunday night before we finally got our bags. And let me just confess to you what I had to confess to the Lord. For me personally, I became really convicted in my heart because of how much I wanted my stuff. I need my stuff. My stuff is in that bag. What are they going to do to get me my stuff? And I looked around at the world around me, and I saw hundreds of thousands of people that didn't have any stuff like me. It's easy for us to forget what we already have, isn't it? It's easy for us to forget the blessings that are already within our grip. It's easy to lose sight of all of the blessings. Maybe that's why Psalms 103 says this. Praise the Lord, my soul. In other words, the psalmist is talking to himself. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget God's blessings. Trust God to provide. Trust God to be at work, even in the losses of your life. Make sure you understand this important lesson. Tough spots in life do not define your God. Your God can make a way. Do you hear me? Tough spots in your life. Do not define your God. Your God can make a way. Let me tell you something I know about us today. There are some of you in this room right now, and you are just spinning. Things have taken a turn that you didn't see coming. And all of a sudden, you're worried, and you're anxious, and you are stressed. This isn't where you thought you were going to be at this point in life, and it feels like it is out of control. Let me encourage you to try this. Find margin. Let go. And trust God with open hands. And when you do that, then you're ready for the second lesson, and that is this. Become attuned to the God moments in your life. Become attuned to the God moments in your life where He is working. Now, There's one of these in the story that I want you to see. Look with me at verse 9. In verse 9, it says, "Finally, they said to each other." In other words, some time had passed. They were enjoying this buffet from tent to tent to tent. But some time had passed. But finally, they said to each other, "This is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone." Do you see the wonder of that moment? I mean, think about it again. These are the same guys that were locked out of the city. These are the same guys that were kept out on their own. These were the guys that nobody else was thinking about, nobody else was caring about, nobody else was providing for. And all of a sudden, in the midst of the abundance of blessing, they're thinking about other people. Do you see it? That's a God moment in their lives. And that's something that we learn along the journey. And it's something that I think they were learning on their journey as well. Look back at verse 5, how they make this decision. In verse 5, it says this. "So at twilight, they set out for the camp of the Arameans. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there." Here's the first thing. Don't miss the risk that these guys take. They are stepping out in a daring way. Can you imagine when they come to the edge of the camp? Can you imagine how their hearts were racing? They didn't know that the camp was empty. They're thinking, this is the moment. This is when we're going to find out if we're going to live or die. And there was great risk. But listen, every risk begins with the first step, and they left behind the comfort of what they knew, even though we'd look and say, well, there wasn't much comfort outside that city wall. They left behind the comfort of what was known, and they stepped into the unknown. And I love this when it says, at twilight, they set out. Do you get it? They stepped into the darkness of the unknown, but they stepped into it together. And by the end of the verse, we discover and they discover. Huh. You know what? God was already at work. God was already doing something. I mean, when they arrive at the edge of the camp, they have no idea. But then it says, but when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. Wait, what? Where did that army go? Where did the enemy go? Well, we know that God was at work even before they knew it. Have you learned that in your own life? That God is at work in the unknown and the not yet that we can't wrap our minds around. God is already at work. He is. You know, I was thinking about that this week. I was reflecting back at a season in my own life. I was a pastor in Colorado, and when God brought us here, it was tough. It was tough. In fact, I remember when we went to Colorado, I had several people who said to my parents, and several people who said to me, well, Kevin will never come back from Colorado because he's going to love it there. And they were right. We loved it there. But then there came this sense in which God was calling us back. And I tell you, it was tough to leave. We started that church. That was my little church that we began. And those people, Holy cow, those people had invested so much in them. And I can remember a day when I was praying, it was like, God, I just don't know how I can leave my church. And it was like the Father whispered to my heart and said, Kevin, it never was your church. It's mine. Trust me. So we came. And you know what? God was already at work. Those people, that church, they thrived in the blessings that God had for them. And I came here. And let me tell you, ministry here has been just the best gift across 40 years of ministry. It was all a gift. And that's what the lepers experience. When they get to that camp, they experience abundance. Abundance. Listen again to verse 8. It says, when the men with leprosy arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another, eating and drinking wine, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing, and they hid it. Amazing. They went from literally nothing to now everything. There's a lesson in that for us. You see, God is able to provide even when kings go without. Remember these guys. These to go back and tell them. The four guys are feasting. But what if they'd never taken the first step? What if they stayed locked up in their fear? Listen, when God guides, you go. When God guides, you go. You follow the nudge. You step into the moment. You take one step at a time, but you trust God every step all the time. You take one step at a time, but you trust God every step all the time. And that gets us ready for the five to live with open hands. Verse 9 again, it says, when the men, verse 9, it says, finally they said to each other, this is not right. I love it that they say this is not right because, you know, who says? I mean, finders and keepers and all that stuff, right? I mean, these are the guys who found it all. Surely this is right. I'm thinking it must have felt pretty right to them to have this feast. But they say, this is not right. There was something within them that wakened them to the reality that this abundance of blessing wasn't just for them, but rather, like you hear me say so often, they've been blessed to be a blessing. They're supposed to share this. You've been blessed to be a blessing. Our church has been blessed so that we would be a blessing. Listen, that's kind of the idea behind even this residency that we've been talking about this month. God is doing something special in this place. And it makes sense to me that He has blessed us so that we ought to be investing in and training up young ministers of the church so that they'll be a blessing for future generations and even in churches that are far beyond the here and now. We have been blessed to be a blessing. In fact, everything that you and I have was put into our hands by the generosity of our God. Everything you have was put in your hands by the generosity of God. That's what David was trying to teach the people when they were preparing to build the temple. In 1 Chronicles 29, this is what he said. He said, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Did you ever think about that? Even in our generosity, all we can do is we just give back what God has already put in our hands. Listen, if God extends open hands to you, then shouldn't we live with open hands? It's not just a good idea. It's what you want. It's what you long for. There is a desire in your heart for that. Let me tell you a story. Came across a story recently about a guy by the name of Ronald Reed. I don't know that any of you would know him. Ronald grew up in pretty much in poverty, never had very much. He was the first guy in his family to even finish high school. And most of his life, Ronald was a gas station attendant. And then he became a janitor, lived in a very modest, tiny home in a little town in Vermont. For years and years, Ronald would stop by the local hospital, and he would visit their coffee shop and get a cup of coffee. And one day, somebody there told him, said, "Hey, you know, you ought to check out the library." And so he would go to the library, and he would browse and read. Not too long ago, Donald passed away. And Donald provided in his will, generously, for his stepkids. But then, get this, to the hospital, he left $4.8 million. And then to the library, he left them $1.2 million. Their whole annual budget was like $600,000. I mean, he blessed the socks off of those guys. How in the world would such a simple man who worked simple jobs all his life leave behind a blessing like that? Well, someone who knew Ronald described it this way. They said, "Ronald understood the value of our very finite and brief time on earth." And let me tell you, when you realize that, it helps you to give generously and to save wisely and to live appropriately. Or you could say it this way. He knew the importance of margin. He paid attention to the moments of life. And he lived with open hands. Isn't that what we long for? Isn't there something about that that just draws us? Listen, I know this to be true. Everything that I have in my life is a temporary gift. It really is. Temporary gift. That means somebody else is going to live in my house. Somebody else is going to sit in the chair in my office. It's a temporary gift. And this next one's hard. Y'all pray for me. Somebody else is going to drive my truck. Everything I have is temporary. Temporary gift. And I will give an account to God for everything that He's given to me. You know, Jesus told a story once about a master who came back and required an accounting of his stewards. You do know that story's about you and me, right? It's about us. Book of Romans puts it this way: yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. And I know this, it's all His. It is all His. Everything I have belongs to the Lord. And when I can remember that, when I can hold on to that, it sure is easier to live with some margin and to watch for the moments when I see God moving that at work and to live with open hands, to relax and release and return and trust Him. So here, let me ask you to do this one more time. Make your fist squeeze really tight. Hold it. One, two, three. Take a breath. And do you feel that? That's how we were made to be. Deuteronomy puts it like this: "You shall not harden your heart or shut your hand from your poor neighbor, your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs." And friends, isn't that exactly what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross? He opened wide his hands for our greatest need: forgiveness that came at the price of his all. Would you stand with me as we pray? God in heaven, we thank you so much that we know you and that you are a generous and good God, that you have given us everything in our life. You have given us everything that we need. Help us to be people who live with margins so that we can move with you, that we have eyes that are attuned to the way in which you are working, those moments, those divine appointments that you give us. And help us to keep our hands open so that we might give to you, that we would be able to release into your kingdom's work the resources with which you've blessed us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.